Hi, good morning. Today's daf is Baba Metzia, daf Ayin Ches. Rabbi Leibowitz left off yesterday, Ayin Zayin, Amud Beis, about six, seven, eight lines before the end of the Amud. This year will be posted on YU Torah for those listening online. It's Alicia Graf filling in for Rabbi Leibowitz, who is away in Eretz Yisrael for the next week plus. So my apologies for disappointing you with it not being Rabbi Leibowitz this year. He'll be back, God willing, next Thursday morning. So we'll learn together until then. So again, continuing on in the sixth parak, we had discussed yesterday, or we had concluded the discussion yesterday about what happens if you give a deposit on a piece of property, or if you give some collateral, and that collateral reflects a partial payment. So what happens? Is it a partial acquisition, or is there no acquisition, or is there no kinyan at all? So today's Gemara is going to pick up with the discussion of what happens if you buy something and there's a down payment or a partial payment that's made, and it turns out the seller is pursuing the buyer for the balance. What exactly does that behavior of the seller indicate? Does he want to sell it to the buyer? Does he not want to sell it to the buyer? So the first part of the shiur will continue the discussion from yesterday. In the middle of Ayin Ches Amud Aleph, we're going to get to a Mishnah, and the Mishnah is going to set us off on a totally different topic and course of conversation. And that topic of conversation is going to center around somebody who rents an animal for a specific purpose and winds up violating the terms of the rental agreement. So he rents the animal, he rents a chamor to take the chamor in the mountainous region, and it turns out that he takes the chamor in the valley, or vice versa. He rents the chamor to take it in the valley, he winds up taking it in the mountain, depending, and then something happens to the chamor. So depending on the circumstances and depending on what caused the damage to the chamor, do we assume that the person is going to be liable because he violated the terms of the rental agreement? Or do we assume that the same damage that befell the chamor, where the guy ultimately took the chamor, would have befallen the chamor even had he complied, and therefore he's going to be pater? We're going to try to establish that one of the views in the Mishnah is going to be the view of Rav Meir, and Rav Meir has an interesting shita. We're going to try to find a source for it, but basically Rav Meir's shita is that if the Balabayas specifies, or if the Balabayas intends that his item be used a certain way, and you go against the will of the Balabayas, if you violate the will of the Balabayas in any way, then you're considered to be a gazlan. It's as if you actually stole the item. So we're going to try to source Rav Meir Shita from a bunch of things. It could be we're going to try to find a source. We're going to try to find a source from somebody who gives wool to a dyer. We're going to try to find a source from various inyane tzedakah. And then the daf is going to conclude with a discussion of what happens if you rent an animal from somebody. You rent a chamar and it turns out to be a bum chamar. It's just not. Maybe it's a little bit blind. Its legs don't really work well. What happens if its leg breaks? What happens if the chamor dies? What happens if the king seizes the chamor, if the agents of the king seize the chamor into service of the king? Are you obligated to pay or not? And is the renter obligated to replace the chamor if any of these things happen or not? So we'll see that again towards the end of today's shiur. We left off again on Ayin Zayin Amud Beis, the 2, 4, 6, 8 lines from the bottom of the Amud, fourth word on the line. It's Vi Amar Rava. So says the Gemara, Vi Amar Rava, Hayman de Osfe Meya Zuze Lechavre. If a person loaned $100 to his friend, Upare Zuza Zuza, and the guy pays him back, but instead of paying him back by writing him a check or giving him $100 bill, every day that he sees him, he gives him $1. So he pays him back piecemeal. So Peron Have, so it is considered to be a valid payback. However, the lender has a gripe against the borrower. Why? The guy loaned him $100, and it turns out the guy paid him back $100. So why should he have a gripe against the borrower for paying it back $100? The Amarle, Afsadinumina, because you basically caused me to lose this. What does it mean that you caused me to lose it? So Rashi explains, because the derech of a person is, if a person loans a substantial sum of money, and then has that sum of money paid back, if he's given it in a lump sum, he's going to deposit it in the bank, he's going to do something with it. If a guy gets a dollar every day, he's going to go to the soda machine, he's going to go buy a soda, he's going to go buy a snack, he's going to do something with it every day, and he's not going to save any of it. So the lender, even though the lender can have a taina because he's getting paid back in a manner that's not conducive to saving, he's being paid back in a manner that's conducive to spending, still he has taromes, he has a gripe against him, but he doesn't have any legal recourse against him. There's no dinya mamonis against him, because after all, what's happening is the guy loaned $100 and he's getting paid back $100. Hahu gavra, so the Gemara now tells him, I say, Hahu gavra, there was a fellow, the Zoven Le Chamra Le Chavre, who sold a donkey to his friend. So it's interesting to note already at this point, whenever the Gemara says Chamra, the Gemara can either mean a Chamar or it can mean wine. So Rashi over here immediately touches up Chamra as Chamar. We'll see in a minute why Rashi touches it up as Chamar instead of wine. But the guy sold a Chamar to his friend, Uposhle Chad Zuza. So now, we learned yesterday about a partial payment. What happens if a guy sells land for $1,000 and the buyer pays only $200? What happens to the rest? Is he kone $200 of the land, or is he not kone anything? Over here, the guy, it's like a real partial payment. It's a super partial payment. The guy sells the chamor for $100, and the buyer pays him $99. So he's only missing $1. The ka'ayil v'nafik azuza. However, the seller is pursuing the buyer vigorously for the last dollar. So usually when you pursue the guy for the last dollar, it means that you don't intend for the sale to be binding unless he pays you in full. But do we say that even when the buyer pays the lion's share of the sale price? Do we say that even when the buyer pays 99 out of $100? So Yosef Ravashi v'kama ayin ba. So Ravashi was sitting and he was being ma'ayin. Saki hai gavna mai. So what's the halacha in this case? Kani o lo kani? Is he kone the chamar or is he not kone the chamar? In other words, is he kone the chamar and he just has to pay the remaining dollar of the purchase price? Or is he not kone the chamar and does the seller have to give the chamar back? What happens to Yachloku? Why don't we say that you divide it? So by a sadeh, by a field, there was a havamina that you're kona up to $200 of the field, and the rest of the field you're not kona. Over here, there's no such havamina. Why? Because we saw yesterday that the din of Yachloku, the havamina of dividing and having the buyer be kone only up to the amount of the purchase price is only shayach by something that has a din chaluka. Like by a piece of land, if you're going to sell an acre of land for X dollars and you get 50% of the purchase price, so you could convey half an acre and you could keep half an acre. Over here by a chamar, there's no din chaluka. Either you're kone the whole chamar or not. It's not shayach to be cholik a chamar. So that's why Rashi explains chamra to be a chamar as opposed to wine. Because if it was wine, if a guy buys a vat of wine, a barrel of wine, and he pays for only half of it, so you could open up the barrel, you could pour the guy half the wine, and you could keep half the wine. Over here, there is no din chaluka, and therefore the result here is going to be binary. The options are going to be binary. Either the guy has to pay you the extra dollar, or you have to return the entire chamar. So Rav Ashi was Mayan, he says, what's the halacha? Is he kone or not? So Ramartcha says to Ravashi, Hachi Kamar Avimi Me'agrunya. This is what Avimi Me'agrunya says, Mishmei de Rava, Zuza Kezuze Dami Velokani. That Zuza is Kezuze and he's not Kone. We had said if the guy makes a partial payment and the seller's running after the buyer for the balance of the money, it shows that he only intends to sell it for the full purchase price. So there's no difference, there's no distinction between whether there's 50% of the purchase price remaining to be paid or 1% of the purchase price remaining to be paid. Either way, if there was only a partial payment and the seller is exhibiting by his conduct that he's refusing to sell, he's unwilling to sell the item until the entire purchase price is paid, then he's not going to be kone, kazuza kazuze dummy. Below kone, and therefore he's not going to be kone. So Amar Leih Rav Acha, B'rei D'Rav Yosef L'Ravashi, Rav Acha Rav Yosef says to Rav Ashi, "Barmina Meshmei de Rava Kani." But we saw in the name, we heard in the name of Rava that in such a case you are kone. So why? How can you say zuza kazuze? We heard from Rava that in a case where there's only one zuz remaining from the purchase price, when there's only $1 remaining in the purchase price to be paid, you are kone. So amar lei to targim shmeitach b'mocher sadeyu mipnei ra'asa. So maybe that was a case where the seller was selling his field because of its poor quality. So what does that mean, because of its poor quality? So Rashi explains, top Rashi on the Yomud, Danad Sadi, the beloved Unsa de Zuze Nami Avi Mazvinla, that even without this last Zuz, he would definitely sell it. Vahai de Ayel Venufik Azuze. Oh, in that case, if the guy's willing to sell it for $99 instead of $100, why is he in hot pursuit of the buyer for the remaining dollar? Why does he want to close out the deal so desperately and get the remaining dollar in if he's willing to sell it even for $99? It's only because he knows he's selling the buyer a dud field. And he knows that if the buyer has too much of an opportunity to scrutinize the field that he bought, he's going to be dissatisfied with the quality. He's not going to want to consummate the sale. That's why the guy's running after him. So basically what the Gemara is saying is like this. Usually, if a guy accepts partial payment and is running after the buyer for the balance of the money, usually it indicates that he's unwilling to consummate the sale unless he gets the full amount of the purchase price. And therefore, unless he gets the full amount of the purchase price, we have to figure out what to do. Either he's kona partially or he's not kona anything. Depends. But if there is an other reason for him to be running after the buyer, like over here, if the fact that he's running after the buyer doesn't necessarily indicate that he's unwilling to consummate the sale unless he gets the full purchase price. It could mean that he's running after the buyer because he wants to close out the deal before the buyer realizes that he's been duped or he bought a bad field. Then maybe we would say he is kona, the buyer is kona, even if he only pays him an amount of money that is short of the purchase price. So says the Gemara, now Vayter, continuing on along this line. So Pshita, so boy lizmuni b'meya, if he wanted to sell a field worth $100, because let's say the guy needs $100 cash, but he's totally illiquid, he has a bunch of fields, so he's going to sell one of his fields to generate the $100 cash that he needs. So he wants to sell a field worth $100 so he could generate the $100 cash. Vloish kech, and he didn't find a buyer for the $100 field. Vizavin b'masayin, so he then sells a field worth $200. V'ka'ayil v'nafik azuzay, and then he's pursuing the buyer, then there was a partial payment, and then he's pursuing the buyer for the balance of the payment. So lo kani. So then the buyer is not going to be kone, because this guy indicated that he only wanted to sell the field for $100 to begin with. Turns out that he sold the field for $200 because he didn't find the buyer for $100. But what does the guy want to do with the proceeds? The guy with the sale proceeds wants to go buy more fields, and he wants the money, and therefore the buyer is not going to be kone. Ella ibay lizvune b'meya. However, what about a case like this? If the guy wants to sell a field for $100, floishka, he didn't find a buyer for $100. However, v'tarach havi mishkach v'lo tarach. If he would have listed on the MLS and he would have listed with a proper broker, then he might have found somebody. He might have found somebody, but he didn't take that additional step. So the guy also had a field worth $200. This $200 field was a much better asset, so it was much easier to sell. And lo and behold, the guy wound up selling the field for $200. So, and now the guy received a partial payment, and the seller is now pursuing the buyer for the balance of the purchase price. So Maisa, in this case, what's the halacha? Does the fact that he's pursuing the buyer for the purchase price show that he's unwilling to sell for anything less than that amount? Or is there another reason, is there an extrinsic reason why he's running after the buyer? So my kamocher sadeo mimnei rasa dami olo. Is this considered to be like a case of mocher sadeu mimnei ra'asa, that he's selling the field because of its poor quality or not? So the Gemara says teku. So what does this mean? How could this be like a case of mocher sadeu mimnei ra'asa? Mocher sadeu mimnei ra'asa is a case where you sold something of inferior quality and you're trying quick to consummate the sale before the buyer realizes that he bought something that was of poor quality. Here, we're not discussing a field that's of poor quality. We're just discussing a scenario where the guy wanted to sell a field initially worth 100, then he only sold a field worth 200, but if he would have tried to scrounge to find a buyer, maybe he would have been successful in selling the field for 100. What does this have to do with Mipnei Rasa? So Rashi explains, about a third of the way down, why do we analogize this case to a case of Mokhar Sadeh B'mnei Rasa? Because it's obvious that the guy really doesn't care so much for his field worth $200. How do I know? Because what was the case? The case was where initially he wanted to sell a field worth $100. He didn't find a buyer, but if he would have tried, he could have found a buyer. So if you really like the $200 field, what would you have done? You would have tried a little harder to find a buyer for a $100 field. From the fact that you immediately shut down and you just immediately flipped to sell the field for $200, it obviously shows that you don't like the field. Maybe you feel it's inferior, and that's why you're pursuing the guy for money. So the Gemara leaves it as a teiku. We're not sure. So the Gemara closes out now a discussion of the prior Mishnah. So Sochar Esachamor Vesachadar Sochar Alein Omatan. So we had spoken about a case where a person hires a donkey driver or a wagon driver, and then the worker backs out. So the worker backs out, and the balabas needs somebody to do the work. So we had said in the Mishnah that either the balabas can hire other people in lieu of the workers who backed out, or he can deceive the workers into working for him. So says the Gemara, Ad kama socher aleihem. Now, when we say that he's entitled to hire replacement workers to take the place of the workers who backed out, is that like a blanket authority? Can he just hire somebody? Can he hire replacement workers for as much money as he wants? Or is there some limit? Is there some limit to the worker who backed out? Is there some limit to his liability? So says the Gemara, Ad kama socher aleihem, Sham Rav Nachman ad kedei scharan. So Rav Nachman says that you can be socher aleihem ad kedei scharan. So what does that mean? So says Rashi like this. Im asu etzlo k'tas ha-malacha, if they did a little bit of the malacha, v'lo kiblu klum, but they didn't take any payment. Socher lehem kol mashu chayev lehem yosef lacherem v'yigmaru. So let's say like this. The guy hired a worker for $100. The worker did 5% of the work, but wasn't paid anything. Now, the worker reneged, and therefore the balabas has to find a replacement to do the job. Now, when the balabas finds a replacement, the balabas can find the replacement worker for $100, and he doesn't have to pay the initial worker, the original worker, the $5 worth of work that he already did. It's a penalty because they backed out. Now the balabas has to find a replacement worker, so he can use that amount that he already paid to go pay the other workers. That's Rashi's explanation. The Ritva and the Rosh actually explain like this. If the first worker got some money already for doing part of the labor, and then he backs out, and as a result, the Balabayas has to go hire replacement workers, then the first workers are on the hook actually to refund to the Balabayas whatever he paid them, so that the Balabayas can now go find a replacement. So it's even more than Rashi. Rashi just said that he's allowed to not pay the first guy and redirect that money to the second guy. The Ritva and the Rosh say, no, if that guy backed out, he reneged mid-job, that's not right. So whatever he got paid, he then has to go pay over to the Balabayas so he can then hire a replacement worker. But it's only Ad Kedei Scharan. They can't be liable for more than they received. So Eisve, Rav Rav Nachman, Ad Arbon V'chamishim Zuz, we see elsewhere in a brisa that they're liable for up to 40 or 50 zuz, and 40 or 50 zuz is much more than a worker would ever make for daily labor. So how can it be that he's chayev up to 40, 50 zuz? So Amar Lei, Kitanya Hi, Shabasa Chavila Liyado. So over there we're talking about where the chavila, where the worker's tools came into the balabayas' hand. So what does this mean? So this means that if you hire a handyman, let's say if you hire a builder, so what they would do in those days is the builder would come, the contractor would come, and he would deposit his tools in the possession of the balabayas. So how do you have 40 or 50 zuz to play with that you could then go hire replacement workers? Because we're not dealing only with the schar that you contracted to pay the worker on a daily basis. but you can also even sell off the tools that he left in your possession and use those proceeds to pay for the replacement workers, for the replacement workers as well. The Achronim have a deal here, whether when we say that the Baal HaBayis is allowed to liquidate the guy's tools and use that money to help pay for the replacement workers, whether it's only the tools, which are sort of connected to the labor that the guy was supposed to perform, or is it the halacha that the Baal HaBayis is allowed to sell any possession of the worker that the worker happened to have left in his possession, even if it's not directly related to the task at hand, in order to liquidate and to pay then for the replacement and to pay for the replacement workers. Okay, so that concludes the discussion of the Mishnah. What happens if a person hires workers and either the Baal HaBayis reneges or the worker reneges? Now we move on to the second topic of today's daf. Again, when a person rents an item and then violates, then he proceeds to violate the terms of understanding of the rental agreement. So he goes against the will of the Baal HaBayis. Sasochar asachamar, if a guy rents a donkey, la'alicha bahar, with the intent that he take it in the mountain, va'alicha bebika, and then instead he goes in the valley. Bebika, if he rented it to take it in the valley, va'alicha bahar, and instead he takes it into the mountain. Afilu zu'eser milin, v'zu'eser milin, umesa. Even if both routes would be a distance of 10 mil, and then the animal dies, Chayev, the guy's Chayev, because he violated the terms of the rental agreement. He didn't take the animal where he was supposed to. Tosfos here points out that the reason that he's Chayev has nothing to do with the distance. So why in the Mishnah does it say, even if this is 10 mil and the other thing is 10 mil, even if this was 10 mil and the other thing was 5 mil, it shouldn't make a difference. Because the point is that he went and violated the terms of the rental agreement. Tosfos says, Eina chanami. It doesn't mean 10 mil, 10 mil. Huadin, even if it was 10 mil and 5 mil, the point is that he violated the terms of the rental agreement. Therefore, flat out, he's going to be chayiv. Now, the Mishnah is going to say something, and it's going to seem to contradict what we just said, because we just said a blanket rule that if the guy rents an animal and the intention is that he use the animal in a certain manner, and then he goes and uses the animal in another manner, that he's automatically chayiv. Now the Mishnah already introduces a little bit of gray area here. So the Mishnah now says like this, Hasochar Sachamar, if a guy rents a donkey, Valicha Bahar, to take it in the mountain, Valicha Bebika, he takes it in the valley. Imichlika, then the animal dies. Now we look at how the animal died. If the animal slipped, then the guy's potter. Why? So the guy's potter like this. Rashi explains, because it is much more slippery in the mountain than it is in the valley. Because in the mountain, there are very narrow pathways. It's very rocky. It's very easy for the animal to lose its footing. In the valley, it's nice wide path. It's a nice wide path, and it's not very rocky terrain. And therefore, if the intent was that the animal be used in the mountain, and then the animal dies, the animal's then used in a valley, but the animal dies in a manner where we can make a kal v'chomer with ourselves, and we could say like this, if the animal slipped in the valley, madach, if he slipped in the valley, kal v'chomer he would have slipped in the mountain, because in the mountain it's even more slippery, it's even more treacherous. So in that case, it's going to be putter. However, if the rental agreement says that you were going to take it to the mountain and instead you took it to the valley, and then vim hukma, but if the animal then overheated, chayev, then you're going to be chayev. Why? Because the valley is much more hot, it's much more stifling than it is up in the mountain. You get a breeze, in the valley you don't get a breeze. So if they specify that he would use the animal on the mountain, but instead he goes to the valley, then the animal overheats, then we have license to assume that had he used the animal as he stipulated, had he used the animal in the mountain, it wouldn't have overheated, and therefore he's going to be chayiv in that case. So now the opposite. Valicha babika, if he rents it with the intention that he's going to use it in the valley, valicha bahar, and instead he uses it in the mountain, imichlika, if the animal slips, then chayiv, then he's going to be chayiv, because the owner could say, I thought you were going to take the animal in the valley. It's not very treacherous terrain. You took it in the mountain. It slipped. It slipped because it was in the mountain. It would not have slipped had it been in the valley. Therefore, you're going to be chayiv. However, if it overheats, then you're going to be putter. Why? Because if it overheats, it would have been more likely to overheat had it been kept in the valley than had you taken it to the mountain. In other words, if it overheated in the mountain, surely it would have overheated had I used it as stipulated. And therefore, you're going to be putter for violating the terms of the rental agreement. Now, in Machmas Hamala Chayev, However, if it died because of the exertion of trudging all the way up the mountain, then you're going to be chayiv. So in other words, what this part of the Mishnah is saying is there's overheating and then there's overheating. So that which we say, if you rent the animal for use in the valley and then you take it to the mountain, if it overheats in the mountain, you're going to be putter, because if it overheated in the mountain, surely it would have overheated in the valley. Depends what type of overheating we're talking about. If, when you look at the animal, you assess that it's sort of a spontaneous overheating, then you're going to be chayiv. However, if it overheated because the animal is out of shape, it doesn't get exercised, and then you take it all the way up to the mountain, you can't say, oh, it overheated. No, it overheated because you killed it by forcing the animal to do this cardiovascular exercise and exert itself when it's not used to doing that. So you have to discern whether it's because of the ascent up the mountain or not. Now the safe of the Mishnah, Socher Sachamar, if a guy rents a donkey, Vivrika, and the donkey becomes blind, Osha Nasis Anagaria, or if it's pressed into the service of the king, so Amarlo, Areshal Khalafanecha. The renter could say, sorry, you're out of luck, take the donkey, it's yours. It's yours. Why? Because he could say that your mazel caused it to be pressed into service for the king. Alternatively, where it became blind, we'll see in the Gemara, it doesn't mean that it became fully blind. It means that it's partially blind, meaning it's difficult for it to get around, but it could still be used. Because if it can't be used at all, then obviously you don't have to pay for it. Now, mesa, if the animal actually dies, onishpura, or if it breaks, in other words, if it has a broken leg and therefore it can't walk, obviously, you hire the donkey to transport your goods. If the donkey can't work for you, then chayv l'hamid l'chamar. Then the renter is going to have to provide a replacement donkey. Okay, so says the Gemara. So maishna reisha d'lo kamaflig, maishna sefer d'kamaflig. So why in the reisha do we simply say flat halacha? If a guy rents a donkey intending to take it to the valley and he took it to the mountain, or the mountain and he took it to the valley, then you're chayiv. But then in the mitzias of the Mishnah, in the middle case of the Mishnah, we start saying, well, it depends. If it died in a way that it would have been more susceptible to dying had you done what you were supposed to do, but it still died anyway, then you're going to be putter. But if it died in a way that it wouldn't have been susceptible to at all had you abided by the terms of the rental agreement, but it was put in that position only because you violated the terms of the rental agreement, then you're going to be chayiv. But why in the reisha is it a flat halacha? It's a blanket halacha. But in the seifa, all of a sudden we start making these distinctions. So says the Gemara, Amri debei Rav Yanai reisha shemesa machmas avir. Because in the reisha. It died because of the avir. So what does it mean because of the avir? It just simply died. So says Rashi. Rashi says, second to last Rashi on the page. It says lo huchlakav lo huchma. It didn't slip. It didn't overheat. Umeisa me'atzma. It just died spontaneously. Hoel v'shinaba, because he violated the terms of the rental agreement. Yochel omer lo, the renter can say lo meisa zu ela machmas avir. Lo haisa limuda ligadol ba'avir har v'kashala, o lo haisa limuda ba'avir bika v'kashala. Then the owner of the animal can say, the renter can say, that listen, the reason that it died was only because you took it to a location that it was unfamiliar with. It didn't like, you know, when players go to Denver to play, they have to condition themselves to play because it's very thin air. So you took it up to the mountain, and it's not used to being up in the mountain, and therefore you are the cause of its death. It's only once it dies because it slips or because it overheats that we could then make distinctions. Oh, maybe it would have died had you abided by the terms of the rental agreement. Maybe it wouldn't have died had you abided by the terms of the rental agreement. But here, where it simply dies because you introduced it to a type of atmosphere that it's not used to, well, then flat out, if you introduced it to a type of atmosphere that it's not used to, you are going to be chayiv. So says the Gemara. So Reisha Shemachmas Avir, Da Amrina Navir Dar Katla, Varmina Davir Debika Katla. Rav Yossi Brav Chanina Amar Kagon Shemesa Machmas Uvtsina, that it died because of exhaustion. So, and both the har and the bika cause different types of exhaustion. The har causes exhaustion because you have to ascend the mountain. The bika causes exhaustion because the air in the bika is generally much more thick. It's much more humid, and therefore it's more taxing to do work in the bika. Rav Amar Kagon Shachisha Nachash. Rava says, we're dealing with a case where we're going to be dealing with a case where a snake bit it. Where you could say, listen, it died because of a snake bite. Had you not taken it where you took it, a snake wouldn't have bit it. And therefore, immediately when you violate the terms of the rental agreement, you're going to be chayiv. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Rabbi Yochanan, Hamani, Rabbi Meir, he. Nah, it doesn't have to do with any of this stuff. The reason that in the Reisha you're chayiv immediately when you violate the terms of the rental agreement is because the Reisha is the Shita of Rabbi Meir. The Amar Kalamavar al Dasha Balabayas, Nikra Gazlan. Anybody who violates the intent of the Balabayas is called a Gazlan, flipping Tayin Chesem Abayz. And that's why. And that's why, according to our mayor, we don't scrutinize, oh, would it have died had you abided by the terms of the rental agreement? Did you introduce this dangerous situation? We don't care. If you are supposed to do X and you do Y, you're called a Gazlan, you're going to be Chayiv. So hi Rameir, so which shita of Rameir? So Ilema Rameir Tetzava, if it's Rameir of Tetzava, what's the case of Tzava? So we've seen this in the past. The Tanan, Hanosein Semer Letzava, if you give wool to a dyer, Letzvalo Adam, to dye something red, Vetzava Shachar, and the guy blows it, he dyes it black instead. So Shachar to dye something black, Vetzava Adam, and he dyes it red instead. So Rameir Omer, Nosein Lo Demet Samro, Rameir says that the dyer has to give the balabas, has to give the customer the value of the tzemer. Why? Because the dyer was supposed to do X. He violated the terms of the agreement. He did Y. Therefore, he's a gazlan. A gazlan has a din of a heshev es hagzela. And therefore, the guy is considered to have stolen the tzemer. He has to return the value of the tzemer. Now, Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Yehuda says, no, the guy's not a gazlan. The guy's just incompetent. He just did the wrong thing. And there, but he still has to get paid because he provided some sort of service. Rav Yehuda Amar Im Hashevach Yeser Ala Yitzia, if the improvement to the item is greater than the expense that the dyer incurred, Nosin Lo Asa Yitzia, then he has to give the dyer only the Yitzia. The Meyitzia Nos Yiser Ala Shevach, and if the expenses exceed the benefit, the improvement to the item, then Nosin Lo Asa Shevach, then he gives him the improvement. He gives him the value of the improvement. In other words, according to Rav Yehuda, we impose a knas on the tzava because he messed up, and the knas is that he gets paid the lesser of his expenditure and the benefit, the improvement that he's causing to the item. But according to Rav Meir says the guy's pasha to gazlan, and therefore he has to return the value of the tzemer to the customer. So says the Gemara, how do we know that we can bring a raya from this case of Rameir? Mimai, Dilma Shani Osam Dekanya Bishini Maisa. Maybe over there, the reason that he's considered to be a gazlan is because he's actually kona the item through a shinui maisa, because he's actually changing the item physically when he dyes the item. The Ramban says, you know, shinui maisa, we have to be careful, because the fact that you do a shinui maisa doesn't always mean that you're kona an item. You're only kona an item b'shinui maisa if you also have kavana. If you also have kavana to steal. So therefore, by the tzava, we could say that he had kavana to steal, and he's kone b'shinui maisa. However, by the socher, who is violating the terms of the rental agreement by doing something with an animal that he's not supposed to be doing, there's no reason to assume that he intended to be kone with any type of shinui, and therefore there's no raya that Rav Meir would say he's a gazlan in the case of schiras. Says the Gemara, Elaha Rav Meir, it's this shita Rav Meir. Demikvas Purim, it's a shita Rav Meir about the collection taken up for Purim. Detanya, like we say in the Braisa, Mikvas Purim lePurim. The collection taken up for Purim can be used only for Purim. Mikvas Oir leOso Oir. The collection taken up for the aniyim of that city can only be used for the aniyim of that city. V'ein medaktik in bedavar, and we're not medaktik in the davar. So what does that mean? So Rashi says, Lomar dayam bapachos v'amosar yachal yipol lekis sol tzedakah. So this case, so Rashi says that ein medaktik in bedavar is talking about the money which is designated to Purim. Let's say if they collect a certain amount of money for Purim from Atanas Lavionim, we don't sit and we don't scrutinize oh, do they really need this amount of money for Sudas Purim? Maybe they only need less, and therefore maybe we should divert some of the money that was given for Purim to other uses. No, we're not medaktik bedaber. Other Rishonim explain, a medaktik and bedaber means that if an ani comes and tries to collect from the money that was designated for Purim and he wants it for a Purim Suda, we're not medaktik in the ani to try to figure out how desperately he needs the money. Like, what are his credentials? Does he really need the money? Does he not need the money? No, because it's Purim, because of the Simchas Hayom, we just give the guy money right away without subjecting him to that level of scrutiny that we often subject aniyim to. But anyway, Mikvas Purim, collection for Purim has to go to Purim, collection for aniyim of that city have to go to that city. You buy animals, v'shochten, and you shech them, v'oklen osam, and you eat them, v'moser yipolakish shel tzedakah. And the rest of it falls into the general tzedakah fund. Rav Elazar Omer, Migvas Purim Lepurim. Rav Elazar says that the collection taken up for Purim has to be used for Purim purposes. Ve'ena ani rashoy likach me'am ratzua l'sandalo. Ela imkei nistim b'mamen anshei ya'ir. And the ani is not allowed to do anything else with that money, even to buy a strap for a sandal, unless he stipulates with the maimad shalos shal anshei ya'ir. Unless he stipulates with a maimad. Tosfa says, what's this teaching us? So Tosfa's Divrei Maschil Rabbi Eliezer says like this, Tanakama lo airi ela begabai delo yishana. Tanakama was telling me that the gabai tzedakah, if money was collected for Purim, should use that money only for Purim. He shouldn't use the money for anything else. This is telling me, Rabbi Eliezer airi ba'ani shenastun lamos l'tzorach sudas Purim, she'ina rashoya ani l'shanos. And now Rabbi Eliezer is telling me that if the ani takes money for Purim, then the ani is not allowed to use the money for anything else other than for Purim-related purposes. So, Divrei Rav Yaakov, Sha'amra Mishum Rameir. Now, back in the Gemara, that idea, that halacha, that if you collect money for Purim, you are not allowed to use the money for anything else, for any other purpose, even something insignificant like buying a shoelace, that's Rav Yaakov, who says the Shita of Rav Meir. Rav Shim Gamliel, Mekel, and Rav Shim Gamliel is going to be Mekel. So we see, obviously, that the intent of the Balabayas, the one who's giving the money to tzedakah, is ma'akev, because if the balabayis intends that the money be used for Purim, then the ani can only use the money for Purim. So if the intent of the balabayis is ma'akev, also of a year, the intent of the renter is going to be ma'akev, and therefore when you violate the intent of the renter, you're going to be called a gazlan. Says the Gemara, no raya, dilma hasam nami, da'ayte de Purim u'diyava, da'ayte de midi achrina lo yovle. Over here, maybe he only gave it al das that it be used for Purim. He didn't give it al das anything else. However, by a rental, we're not going to say, oh, he only intended that it be used in the mountain. He would have rented it otherwise. Maybe we could assume, no, he's giving guidelines, but he didn't give it for this specific purpose. Mashen came by tzedakah. He mamash gave it for a specific purpose. Therefore, it can't be used for any other purpose. So we're still searching for which shita Rav Meir, the resha of the Mishnah, could be. Ella HaRav Meir. Maybe it's this shita Rav Meir. The Tani Rav Shimon Elazar Omer Mishum Rav Meir. Shimon Elazar says in the name of Rav Meir, Hano Sein Dinar La'ani. If a person gives a dinar to an ani to buy a shirt, lo yikach bo talis, he shouldn't buy a talis. Talis lo yikach bo chaluk. If he gives him money to buy a talis, the ani shouldn't buy a cloak. Because he is violating the intent of the balabayas, and if you violate the intent of the balabayas, you are called a gazlan. Vidilma shani also, maybe over there it's different. Darsu lemikshadei. The reason that you have to go buy the cloak if you claim that you're going to buy the cloak is not because you're violating the intent of the balabayas if you don't buy it. It's because people are going to be choshed the balabayas if you don't buy it. How are they going to be choshed? Damri inchi amar planya zvini le levusha le planya anya v'loz ovenle. Because this guy is going around saying, oh, I'm such a good guy. I gave this ani money so that he could buy a shirt. And then people are going to see that the ani doesn't have a new shirt. So they're going to think that the guy was lying when he said he gave the ani money to buy a shirt. Inami zvini ne glima v'loz ovenle. Or he said that, oh, I bought the ani a cloak, and he didn't actually buy the cloak. So says the Gemara, Im Kein, listening to Bnei Achshad. Says the Gemara, no. If that were the concern, then what we would have said was that if you give the ani money to buy a specific article of clothing, then he has to buy that article of clothing because it will cause chshad on the balabayis if the ani doesn't do exactly what the balabayis intended him to do. But we don't say it's bnei achshad. We say it's because he's being maver on the das of the balabayis. Shema mina misham deshani. So we see that it's because he was over on the das of the balabayis, but chalamaver al das shabalabayis nikra gazlan, and anybody who is over on the das of the balabayis is going to be called a gazlan. And the Ritva explains that if Rav Meir is going to be medaktik in the case of tzedakah, where really, there's no reason that the guy giving tzedakah should insist that the ani buy a cloak instead of a shirt or a shirt instead of the cloak. But if you have to listen to the balabayis, even in the case of tzedakah, then certainly if you're only renting something to somebody where your intent is that you're going to get the thing back, therefore you have even a greater vested interest in how that item is going to be used. And therefore, if you violate the intent of the balabayis in any respect, you're going to be called a gazlan. All right, we're a little short tomorrow. We're going to pick up with the seifa of what happens if the animal becomes blind or if it's pressed into the service of the king.